Turbulent times call for clear-headed insight. That's hard to come by these days, especially on TV. That's where we come in. Salem News Channel has the greatest collection of conservative minds all in one place. People you know and trust, like Dennis Prager, Eric Metaxas, Charlie Kirk, and more. Unfiltered, unapologetic truth. Find what you're searching for at snc.tv and on Local Now Channel 525.
Is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. And tonight, well, he's always at the top of the pile. He's our producer and his name is Kyle.
Hey, Pastor Ernie, how are you?
We're doing good tonight, Kyle. And, you know, I just heard what was said about old Caleb, you know. Chuck Swindoll was talking about Caleb going into the Promised Land and how Caleb said he was 40 years old when he went in there. But here at 85, he was just as strong and he could still whip the enemy. He had a sword in his hand. And if Caleb could do it at 85, Joe, you and I. I don't know, though, Joe, I could say I'm just as strong now. I don't think I can. But,
not quite as strong. You know, not quite as strong as we were when we were 60. In our prime.
Yeah. My prime came a little bit before 60, but already. Well, we got a lot to talk about tonight, so we got to get to it, don't we?
Get ready to work.
Yeah. You remember the title of the message?
A fool's mouth is his destruction.
Yeah. We got into the love of money. How today the woke movement, the corrupt, all of this stuff with Hunter Biden, all this stuff with Joe Biden, the Clintons, George Soros, all of this corruption. Here in Ohio, issue one. It's all about money. It's the love of money. Their God is mammon and Satan. Okay. And so.
Mammon, Satan, and power.
And then we went off.
The power.
And then we talked about today, you know, the prosperity preachers. Now, Joe, you know, I'm going to be, Lord's willing, unless something changed, preaching Sunday on The Gospel Unredacted. The Gospel Unredacted. Now, there's a lot of things in the Bible certain groups don't agree with. They just don't agree with it at all, yet they profess to be Christians. And like what we're going to be talking about here tonight, the Prosperity Church does not agree with this at all. And you won't ever hear them preaching on this passage here at all.
In other words, they're saying that God didn't know what he was talking about and that their way is better, right?
That's what they're saying. Remember what Gloria Olstein said, it's not about God, it's about us.
Us, yeah. Okay. Right there was a clue.
And, maybe that's when Jesse DePlantis...
Everything is about him. He is the physical creator, the spiritual creator, the one who can take or give life. The one who keeps the universe in check and balance. I mean, and we're supposed to recognize ourselves?
Well, when
kind of funny.
When Jesse DuPlantis says God calls on him for advice, do you think that what kind of advice do you think he gives them about Mark chapter 10, verses 23 through 27?
I think God just ignores him totally. He's got a special place in hell for idiots. I don't think God pays any attention to that garbage. It's
well
to him.
We're going to get to that passage in Scripture.
All he sees is sin, you know.
We're going to get to that passage in Scripture in James chapter 5 where he talks about people that rip off the poor, the people that take advantage and rip off the poor. And boy, that's exactly what the prosperity preachers do, don't they?
Yep, exactly.
They play on
that's
people's desperation.
I remind everybody that in the almost 50 years on the radio, Pastor Ernie Sanders has never taken a dime for the What's Right, What's Left radio ministry, and neither has anyone, including myself, working with him. We all volunteer our time, our talent, and our own treasure. We're not here for the money.
Well, that's right, because what happens is if you do that, if you start taking the money, pretty soon, you know, like I knew four very wealthy people that, in fact, they were related to me, and they were four brothers, and they were all millionaires, and once asked how much money, the youngest was asked, how much money would be enough for you? Mm. And his answer was just $1 more than the oldest, than his brother. Just $1
more. Than my brother.
Yeah, just $1 more. And so the competition for making money, and there's nothing wrong with being productive. There's nothing wrong with prospering.
Being successful, yeah.
Right, as long as you do it like they were very successful in the Bible. You take a look at Abraham. Abraham was very, very wealthy. But what did he do with his wealth? He took care of his people, God's people. Job was the wealthiest man in the entire East. And Job was known for being a father for the fatherless and giving a home to the homeless. Job was known for being very, very, very charitable, taking care of his people. King David was known to take care of his people. Solomon, even though he wasn't very smart when it came to women, he knew how to take care of the people. And so that's what the Lord Jesus talks about, the taking care of the poor. And but when mammon is your goal, when it's the love of money, and this is what so many people today, if we take a look at some of the most evil people in the world today are the richest people in the world today. And if you look at, for example, you know, we continue to hear by the fake news media, the so-called mainstream media, how that the Republican Party is the party for the rich and the Democratic Party is the party for the poor. Yet, if you take a look at that, you find out that the 10 wealthy, and I think it's more than that now, wealthiest U.S. senators are all Democrats. They're all Democrats. You take a look at all of these people, like Zuckerberg, Gates, Soros, all of these, most of these billionaires, they're all Democrats.
Well, there's a few Republicans, but most of the really filthy rich are Democrats or, you know, extreme liberals.
Right, and there's a sick, woke mindset that has taken over Wall Street, where it's gotten to the point where making money is not as important as promoting the woke agenda. But now that's starting to come back and bite them. Let's start tonight in Mark 10, verses 23 through 27.
And Jesus looked around about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, With men, it is impossible, but not with God, for with God, all things are possible.
So now when Jesus said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God, and the disciples were astonished, they were absolutely astonished. Why do you think they were astonished at that, Joe?
I feel in the world it was always the rich were the successful, the strong, the intelligent, even in their world. And there were even people like Lazarus that they knew was rich, but he took care of Jesus, the disciples. Apparently he used his wealth well. But
well, actually,
what they saw, wealth,
actually,
success.
In the Middle East at that time, it was a common teaching, Joe, was a common teaching in the Middle East that if you were wealthy, it was because you had God's favor. God favored you if you were wealthy and healthy. But if you were poor, it's because God, you were not favored by God. And the same.
So if you were crippled, you were not favored at all.
So now these guys grew up. These guys grew up with that belief, that teaching that, gee, you know, we've always been taught that these people have all of that because God loves them. We didn't know. We couldn't figure out why God would love these people the way they act. But. This is what we've always been taught. That's why it says, and the disciples were astonished in his words. They couldn't believe his words, right? And then it goes
to
verse.
They've never heard it before.
Yeah, and then Jesus tells them, for it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now remember, in those days, a lot of people were tent makers. And the needles, did you ever see the needles they used to sew canvas?
They're a little bit larger than what most people are used to.
A whole lot larger, Joe.
A whole lot, yeah.
A whole lot larger, yeah.
You could use them for a weapon.
Yeah, but you still couldn't get a camel through them.
No.
But they understood this. And so,
no.
Here.
Let me ask you a question. I've heard a lot of preachers in the Protestant churches talked about, well, in Jerusalem, they had the Eye of the Needle was a gate where people had to come in at night, and it was so low and narrow that the camels had to get down on their knees and crawl through, and that only one could pass at a time, and even the man couldn't come with the camel. He had to either come in so that there was only one person, one camel at a time going through this eye, needle's eye, for security, and they thought that was what Jesus was referring to, that eye of the needle. Camels could get through it, but very, very difficultly.
That's what you call an arbitrary rationalization. In other words, it has an application, but you know.
In this case, it's something somebody decided sounded good on a sermon.
You could use that as an application, but it doesn't. You know, here, what he's speaking is literally. He's speaking literally. It's not, you know, nowhere is he
making a fable or anything. Yeah,
you're right.
He's not using a story.
Right. He just is speaking literally. And so here when, you know, Jesus said that a camel could more easily go through the eye of a needle and a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Okay, so let me ask you a question. If you take a look at them, about both of those things, whether it be the eye of the needle at the tent where they kept in the little corral area where they kept the camels, or whether it be an actual eye of the actual needle. Now, both of those have one thing in common, and that is that neither they nor a very rich man can enter into the kingdom of God.
Without God's help.
Right. And so here, according to, without Lord, see, if that's where, you know, their God is, if their God is mammon, you know, then it's impossible.
Right.
Jesus said, what, blessed be you that are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Remember Luke 6:20? So What is he referring to?
The poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
So you have poor, to be... Yeah, poor. Remember the rich...
He wanted poor in spirit, right?
Yeah.
Humility and looking to God, not looking to yourself.
Right. But remember when the rich young ruler came to the knee, he said, what must I do to get into heaven? And Jesus gave him a litany of things. And then he said, and then sell all your possessions, sell your material goods, your possessions, and follow me. So what was he not able to do? He could not give up.
Possessions. The apostles all left everything they had, every family, everything they were doing, and followed Jesus with nothing but the clothes they had.
So now, we mentioned earlier about the very wealthiest people being Democrats. You know, they took a poll, and they found out amongst the conservative Christians and the Republicans, they tithed an average of 10%. They tithed those an average of 10%. What do you think it was amongst the Democrats in their liberal churches? It was 3%.
I'd say 1% maybe?
3%.
3. It was, okay, that high. I was kind of surprised it was that high.
So you're saying, well, wait a minute. You mean to tell me they're not generous? Oh, no, they're generous, but they're generous with other people's money.
Other people's money, yeah.
And other people's freedoms. And they want to control everyone else's freedom. So let's go over now to Luke 16 and read just one verse, verse 33.
Luke 16, okay. Verse 33, you said?
Yeah.
Come on, I'm almost lost the page again. There it is, Luke 16, 33. There's only a 31. Luke 16.
My memory's failing me then.
The rich man and Lazarus. And the...
Yeah, that must be, maybe it's 31 I was thinking of.
And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. So even if this rich man had risen from the dead to warn his rich brothers about their ways that are going to send them to hell, even if he was able to do that, they would not be persuaded, is what the Lord told them.
Yep. And well we're going to get to that passage, too, because in... when we take a look at that, in Luke 16, where he says, and there was a certain rich man which was clothed with purple and fine linen. Okay. And so what was that rich man to do? He never gave anything to Lazarus, did he?
No. He walked by. Lazarus was begging outside, and he walked by him every day and did nothing to help him, feed him, clothe him, anything. He just ignored him.
Okay. What's happening right now? The Bidens are bringing in all these illegal aliens. They're bringing them all in, and the children. And what's happening to all of these illegal aliens that they're bringing in, except for the ones that...
They were being put in four-star hotels. They were being given school, all kinds of things. In fact, we did a story. They took veterans out of police apartments and kicked them out and gave their places to illegal aliens.
Well, some of them.
We're harming our own people.
Okay, some of them, yeah. That's the problem. They're going after our own people, our own elderly. But what's happening here in Ohio, just yesterday, they made a major bust. And 100 missing children were found and freed.
Wow.
And they busted and they arrested 160 human traffickers right here in Ohio yesterday. It was a major sting operation. But that's just the tip of the iceberg, Joe. Just the tip.
Tar and feather would be too good for them.
You're not kidding. Let's go over to Micah chapter 6.
All right. 10 through 16, huh?
Yep.
Are there yet the treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked, and the scant measure that is abominable? Shall I count them pure with the wicked? Balances, and with the bag of deceitful weights. For the rich men thereof are full of violence, and the inhabitants thereof have spoken lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. Therefore also will I make thee sick in smiting thee, and making thee desolate because of thy sins. Thou shalt eat, but not be satisfied, and thy casting down shall be in the midst of thee, and thou shalt take hold, but shall not deliver. And that which thou deliverest, I will give up to the sword. Thou
All right.
shalt sow.
Go ahead.
Two more. Thou shalt sow, but thou shalt not reap. Thou shalt tread the olives, but thou shalt not anoint thee with oil, and sweet wine, but shall not drink wine. For the statues of Omri are kept, and all the works of the house of Ahab, and ye walk in their counsels, that I should make thee a desolation, and the inhabitants thereof a hissing. Therefore ye shall bear the reproach of my people.
Now he's saying, you mean to tell me, he's asking, Micah, why is it that there is still treasures in the houses of the wicked? These people are to be brought down. Now, history, Joe, is full of examples of the rich men that failed to share their wealth with the poor. Let's go back. Remember Pharaoh? What did he do with the Hebrew people? He worked them until they dropped.
Right.
What about Nebuchadnezzar? He didn't share his kingdom, did he, with his people?
No, he didn't.
What about Herod? The so-called magnificent.
Herod didn't share anything but death and punishment.
What about Ahab?
Pretty much the same for him.
Right. In fact, when he speaks about the house of Ahab here, and when he talks about Omri, do you know who Omri was, Joe?
I knew you used to, but I don't remember right now.
He betrayed his king. He betrayed him. He was a... and murdered him.
That's right.
And so we take a look at here, Ethbaal. You know, we talked about human trafficking. That's where Ethbaal made all of his money. And by the way, he was Jezebel's nephew. And so today,
it runs in the family. In other words, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Speaking about the family today, think about all of those that didn't help the poor. All of those billions of dollars in Haiti, the Clinton's foundation sucked up billions of dollars. Only 3% of the money raised for that Haiti fund after that earthquake went to the people. What about Bill Gates? What did he use his money on?
Look at Haiti now, too, Rose. It's being run by wild gangs in the street. It's not even under control at all.
Yeah, Bill Gates didn't feed people. He spent his money killing with vaccines, killing people, and bragging about depopulating the program. We see that's what Joe Biden's doing. Joe Biden wants, there's not enough abortion, there's not enough depopulation. You can't quench his thirst for death. Mark Zuckerberg, same thing. George Soros, Klaus Schwab, Ted Turner. They all go the same way. They are going to go the same way,
Let
Joe.
Let them eat cake, right? One of those great lines in history. Hey, wasn't Omri also the founder of Samaria?
Yeah.
That's okay. I knew there was something I couldn't come up with, but that was what I remember him of.
And so what he's saying here in verse 11, shall I count them pure with the wicked balances and with a bag of deceitful weights? What he's saying, Joe, shall I justify them with their corruption and their corrupt business practices?
You can't justify corruption, with blessing. You have to bring retribution and judgment.
All righty, we'll be back right after this. Don't go away. A whole lot more to come.
Remember me, you're taking all my money. Remember me, you gave my job away. Remember me, or am I just a number? Who's white and straight and doesn't qualify for foreign aid? Remember me, I helped you get elected. But you haven't done one thing you said you'd do.
the little booth. I'll remember in November to vote for anyone but you. Remember me, I served my country proudly. Remember me, I love the USA. Remember me, or am I just some bumpkin who you didn't think would notice the bounce checks and midnight rays? Remember me, I wrote you all those letters thinking that you cared what I thought too.
Remember, let me, I'm going to ask Joe a question. Joe, let me ask you this. If you profess to be a Christian, say that you're Christian or that you're just an American patriot and you're not registered to vote, should you be ashamed of yourself, Joe?
Extremely ashamed, because voting is one of the great privileges and duties of a citizen, because we're supposed to be the sovereigns. And we are the ones who are to decide the fate of the nation. So it's a responsibility as well as it's a duty as well as a privilege.
Absolutely. And if they don't vote, if we should lose this to the forces of darkness and evil, because so with such a large percent of professing Christians aren't even registered to vote, Joe, would that be a total dishonor to God, a disgrace?
It would be a disgrace. It would be a dishonor. He's given us the freedom of choice. Like the Founding Fathers said, it was our duty and freedom to choose Christians to be our leaders.
So if you run into somebody out there and they say, well, listen, I'm a Christian, but I'm not registered to vote, are you going to call them a dumbhead, Joe?
I'm going to tell them they better look at what the definition of a Christian is, you know.
You're going to tell them you should be ashamed of yourself?
Ashamed of yourself, yeah. Rather than just calling them dumb, I think they're ignorant, and they are ignorant because they chose to be, which is not a good thing. God wants us to have wisdom and knowledge, right?
Mm-hmm. All right, do you know what wisdom and knowledge would do? Tomorrow we're going to have a prayer breakfast because we believe in praying. Wisdom comes right out of God's Word. And we're going to be there, and tomorrow we're going to have a whole big stack of letters from our listeners out here. And in there, there's going to be a lot of prayer requests, and some of them won't they just write a little note saying they're how blessed they are to be able to support us. But we pray for them anyhow. Every single one that comes in, we pray for. And sometimes they make it difficult because they, they don't have a name. They'll just have an address, and they'll have a money order without their name on the money order. And so they make it difficult, but we've found a way around that too. So now, here, Joe, one of the things that I'm going to get tomorrow, we go through all those letters.
Is any chance some of those people are worried that we might have a list or something that the government could get a hold of? Because
I suppose there's
right
a very
now.
very good chance of that, because we live in a time where one thing about our government, and even those on the left don't trust it. More and more, you know, today I was talking to somebody and I said, that's one thing we can agree on is we don't trust the government. Every certain single person said, you're right, we don't. And they become so corrupt. But in fact, Joe, do you know what the FBI stands for? It's the Fascist Bureau of Insurrectionists. The Fascist Bureau of Insurrectionists have declared that all true patriot Americans are terrorists. They've declared that all true. Now the top echelon, that's the top echelon of the Fascist Bureau of Insurrectionists. They're very concerned because they know that within their ranks, there's sleeper cells of Christian patriots within their ranks. This just recently just came out today where they again said that the mega, the Christian right, are the ones that you have to worry about. That we're mostly the terrorist. That we're
yeah.
That is really something, huh?
It follows. You said Fascist Bureau of what?
Insurrectionists. Uh-huh. January 6th, the insurrectionists there were rogue FBI agents.
Yep.
Many of them.
The facilitators, the movers, the shakers, the plants, yeah.
Yep, absolutely. Now, I was going back to those letters that we'll be reading tomorrow, praying. In a number of them, there will be people that write, love your newsletter, love it, thank you, and tell more people about it. So that's what I'm going to do right now, folks. You really, if you don't get our newsletter, it doesn't cost you anything, it costs us, but it's, you know, we'll be glad to pay the price for this postage. And we send it, you know, regular first class because we want to make sure you get it. And here, we're sending out a lot of articles, things that a lot of times you have discussion with family members or whatever, and they don't really quite believe you. Then when you have the article in your hand and you show them, say, now here's my sources, check it out. That changes things. I have someone I know who grew up listening to NBC, ABC, and CBS, totally indoctrinated, and now has been receiving our newsletter. And it said, boy, have I been dumbed down. And so we get the message out there. So, folks, you need to get our newsletter. You can either go up to our website, wrwl.org, and ask for the newsletter, or you can. It's better if you write and give us your full name, your full address very clearly, very clearly. And even a phone number out there. One of the things, Joe, you know how we always say that
it will not be given out in any way, shape, or form.
No, absolutely not. Now, one of the things, Joe, that we know how, you know how when we pray that I often will say that at this very time tomorrow, many people that are in the world right now will not be here because their soul will be required of them.
Very of that because we've seen it, haven't we?
Yeah. Yeah, well, every month we get a lot of new people that receive the newsletter, but every month we get a whole lot of returns, newsletters, returns, persons deceased. The person is deceased.
Deceased.
I mean, so, you know, you're seeing this, you know, here, that people that have been supporting us and living to it, you know, for a long time have gone home and got the reward. All right, articles.
We didn't gain our loss, but we appreciated them all the time they were here.
I'll let you lead off with the first article tonight. Go for it.
Well, that headline that caught me is the Department of Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas citing acute and immediate need to waive dozens of federal laws in order to, my goodness, build a border wall in South Texas. I look at this, I'm looking to this whole article. They're going to waive 26 federal laws, and they're going to start construction. Remember, Biden, there would, quote, not be another foot of wall constructed on my administration. That Trump's, you know, wall was just an example of the prior administration's misplaced priorities, failure to manage migration.
I remember Biden saying he was going to tear down the wall.
Yeah.
And so you think he was going to tear the wall down so he could build a better one, Joe?
No, he wanted it down. What he did was, you know, allowed big gaps in it, and then he went and sold a lot of the material to finish building the wall, and here we are, $2 trillion in debt, and he's going to have to what? Borrow some more money so that he can buy the material for Mayorkas to finish building the wall. I mean, how you know, ouch, folks. We're paying for it twice because of Biden.
Do you really think, Joe, that they're going to build the wall?
I think he's going to do make a show of it. There's going to be he's probably going to leave the build the wall, but he'll leave the ports of entry open. See, there'll be a trick there somewhere. He'll build the wall, but leave the ports of entry open. That'll get rid of the pictures of people going through the barbed wire and drowning in the river. They can come across through the ports of entry a little safer. I think if something like that will happen.
How about this? You have film footage every single day of thousands of people coming into the country. And as we watch this, as we see these people coming into the country with, and Mayorkas is out there saying the border is secured. He's even as we're watching this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now,
right.
So basically what he's saying, are you going to believe me or like Bill Clinton would say, you're lying eyes? And so as we're watching this, he's out there because this is what he was told to say, and he was going to do what his master tells him. He's got no integrity, not a bit of integrity, of honesty. And so what about this?
Okay,
what if they
don't?
I mean, what if he would actually start tearing down the wall and convincing the people that as he's tearing down the wall, he'll have all of the support and the backing of the fake news media. No matter what the lie is, they don't call it a lie, do they?
Narrative. It's a narrative that they do daily.
Right. And so that they would, even as they're tearing the wall down, they would tell you, this is actually, we're putting the wall up. The American people have
We're making it better by tearing the wall down, is what they would say.
Well, yeah, because this is basically what they've been doing from the beginning, is insulting the intelligence of the American people. And the American people
I think I know what's going on. The president of Mexico, and this didn't get a lot of attention in the news, but it's out there, he said there is 10,000 illegals a day heading toward the USA.
Oh, yeah.
10,000 a day. Now, according to my math, that's about 280,000 a month, which would be more than the highest month we had. What did they say? The 260,000 encounters in September would be the highest month on record. And the Mexican president says there are more than that coming for the next several months.
Okay. Their goal, Joe, was to have a time when once they've hit 50 million illegals brought into this country, non-citizens, once they've hit that 50 million mark, that was their goal. They believed with 50 million, they could sway any election.
Well, we're pretty close to that, aren't we? Real close.
Oh, yeah. I think
they remember for years, there's only 11 million illegals. So they used that same figure for 7 or 8 years that I can remember.
Oh, they've used
and
that all.
Every year there were more coming in, but they always kept that 11 million figure.
Yep.
So that was more like you and I think talked at the time. It was probably closer to 30.
Back in the 80s, Joe, back in the 80s, I had Pat Buchanan on the program, and they were talking 11 million then, back in the 80s.
Then, back in the 80s, yep.
So there you go.
So we're probably over the 50 million mark now.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to switch over a little bit here to here in New York again today. Morally, completely morally, I've been listening to her for a while, bought and paid for, completely morally corrupt, God-hating, white man-hating, Letitia James. That woman's got no integrity, no decency at all, no honor at all. You know, she's the perfect example of what God's word, the Bible, when it talks about in Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Hosea about going a whoring. She's the perfect example of that. And she's bringing more. Now, look, if you had any integrity at all, we've always known this. If you're a judge, do you, or a prosecutor, do you run on prosecuting someone that has not committed a crime, that has not been found guilty? Do you run on prosecuting that person, run an election, and you get it in a corrupt court where the judge hands the verdict down before there's a trial? And in an area where they make sure that the jury, if there is a jury in any case, that that jury has been totally corrupted. That's what you have there in New York.
Yeah, we've never seen this before in our lifetime like
no.
this. This is the worst I think I've ever seen, and you and I have been around a while.
Right. This is pure communism. It's pure communism.
That's part of the revolution. If they can destroy Trump, it'll be an example to all the rest of the America Firsters and Christian conservatives that if we can tear him down, destroy him, well, look what we can do to you, folks.
Now, here's an interesting thing. There's a number of, it's a growing number of people in Congress that are asking President Donald Trump, and now I know that they've been, there's a lot of backing for Jim Jordan, and Jim Jordan is he's a good congressman here from Ohio. He would be an excellent speaker. But now, just think of the irony in this, because Donald Trump said he'd be willing to help Congress out for a few weeks, but he won't babysit him. And now, just imagine if Trump gets in there as Speaker of the House. First of all, things will change and very quickly. You know how he does things within. All he would need is 2 or 3 weeks to show people how to take a stand. Right. Now,
the bully pulpit.
Now, picture this. Remember when he was president and he would make his speech there, the nation speech?
Mm-hmm.
And Nasty Pelosi was sitting behind him.
She stood up and totally
disrespectful, tore up his speech, and now just picture how Trump would do this if he's sitting behind Joe Obama. Biden, first of all, Biden's got to be really, you know, with Trump behind him, that has to be, but just picture the look on Trump's, the expressions on Trump's face. I mean, Trump would be there mugging for the camera. Could you see him standing up next to Kamala Harris and ripping up Joe Obama's speech? That would just be great. I'll tell you, he'd get a standing ovation in Congress. I think even some of the liberals would have to stand and applaud for him for doing that.
Oh, he's got, what do they call it, chutzpah. He's got the chutzpah to do it.
Yeah, that would really be something.
One of the things I think we needed, did you see where Biden is? Even after the Supreme Court ruled he didn't have the authority, that only Congress can do things, he's now saying he's canceling $9 billion in student loan debt. And he's going to target specific people, that are in low incomes or disabled or different categories. But he's giving relief to 125,000 borrowers. Now, I talked the other night about they were calling last Sunday Bloody Sunday because it's when the $280 a month payments on student loans was supposed to start for everyone. And how that was going to help bring about recession, depression, how that was going to hurt so many of these people. after, you know, because of the high inflation rate going on. So he's determined to go ahead and break all the laws and bring this relief. What he's trying to do is buy 125,000 young votes. It's strictly, we're going to buy votes on this one, and you and I and all the taxpayers get to pay for him to buy votes.
Well,
I wonder what's wrong with that picture, huh?
Well, what he don't realize is a lot of those that were so, that they took the money, a lot of them dropped out. They never even finished. Mm-hmm. And, Joe, a lot of them don't register to vote at all. So he's going to come up with it. And remember, the only thing they count on in any election is election fraud. That's what they're thinking about right now. They're working on
it. Well, that's the only thing they have. They don't have the will of the people. They have this horrible economy. They have the horrible border crisis. They have this horrible war going on that we are doing it through a proxy, through Ukraine. Oh, in fact, there's a big thing out from the NATO. All NATO is scraping the bottom of the barrel on ammunition. Europe has no ammunition. They were low on ammunition when the war started, and they are now scraping the bottom of the barrel and saying there is a crisis. We're going to have to do something immediately. This is unsustainable, and we can't even defend ourselves. So things are getting hairy out there, folks. They're getting a little weird all around the world. And again, a lot of this was what? Biden. Comes back to him. Biden is the one.
Yeah, it comes back to Biden, but Biden is simply taking his orders from Obama, who's taking his orders from George Soros.
Soros, right. Well, we know that, but it's still, I'm trying to make the point, if we had Trump in like we should have, we wouldn't be having these problems. Oh, and by the way, to add to it, they're weaponizing the IRS again. Mike Lindell has come out and said, hey, the IRS has opened up 5 audits on MyPillow, 5 different audits of his company. Why? Well, he speaks out. He is pro-Trump. He is anti-Biden. He is anti the liberal left. And he said this is a part of an effort to silence him and others in the MAGA movement. And, well, what are they going to do? They're going to attack him where his money's coming from, because he's been using his money to what? Promote MAGA and promote Christian values. So he's got to go, doesn't he?
Right. Well, you know, we talked about Obama. Barack Obama's presidency, Joe, was historic. Pundits said it celebrates. Celebrities tweeted it. And the community organizers from Chicago were not shy about constantly bringing it up.
Oh, yeah.
And it was true. Over a decade after his inauguration, we are still living in his shadow. His history of economic decline, racial division, and terrorist appeasement is present.
And strengthening the government. We kept pointing out, look what he's doing now. He's putting in these political activists into the deep state in replacing bureaucrats with political activists, with far lefties.
The third term of his presidency under Biden makes him inescapable even long after leaving office. The Biden regime is extending this fundamental transformation of America. It opened borders, woke military, critical race theory, terrorist appeasement, and wealth redistribution are a continuation of Obama's war on the national sovereignty, on the middle class, on the family, and on free enterprise. From a new administration staffed with all his old people to the familiar economic misery that the Americans thought that they had left behind, it is as if the Obama regime never ended, and as the nation endures a third term of Barack Obama, many wonders if it will ever end. His legacy of defeat abroad and division at home is all around us. From race riots to defeat in Afghanistan, from the war on the middle class to massive power grabs, we're not only still living out its history, But it is clear that we will go on living there until we break free. Obama made history, but not the way the mainstream media would have it. The truly historic elements of his presidency were not his accident of birth and choice of racial identification, no, which is a political establishment obsessed with identity politics, told Americans would serve as a national atonement for racism. Now that his third term has taken place under an old white male figurehead, it is clearer than ever that identity is not history. The true legacy of Obama and Biden lies in the impact of their destructive radicalism on the country, not what box they checked on their census form. The community organizer from Chicago did not heal our racial wounds. Instead, he presided over a historically divisive era that reversed generations of improvements in race relations. But Obama did not just divide Americans by race. He said he would punish his enemies, but by gender. You know, there's a reason we haven't had a woman president before. By faith, they get better. They cling to guns. They cling to guns or religion. By all the favors of sexual identity and by every sort of identity politics, he broke American fractures of our time after the aftershocks of destruction. Remember what Obama said? He said Jesus was a savior, but he was only one of many saviors. And Barack Obama said, I am that I am. There you go, folks.
And let me add to that, right now, the Russian, we were just talking about NATO being short of ammo. The Russian invasion is showing no signs of ending. Why? Because Putin is funding the entire war based on the sale of oil, the money he gets from selling oil all over the world, because the Saudis have cut back production. We have, Biden has decimated our oil leases, production. He has put on regulations. He's done everything to hinder financing, you know, you name it. He's doing something to halt America's production of energy, especially oil. They call it fossil fuels, but it's really carbon-based. There's no such thing as a fossil fuel. It's a lie. And that all started back with, you know what you were talking about, Obama was the one that started this whole thing.
Well, yeah, I remember we reported on it for all 8 years of him in the White House. Every single day we said, do you see what he's doing now?
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what he is doing now? He was reporting sodomites, his own kind, sodomites, to, you know, here to the Department of Education. He would have pedophiles, known pedophiles, people that were members of that NAMBLA. He would appoint them to the Department of Education. He was he purged 11 four-star generals because they were patriots, because they were American generals.
200 other high-ranking Christians.
260
so
altogether.
He did a wonderful job of destroying America, right?
Yep. We're coming up to a break, and we will be back right after this with a whole lot more, so don't go away. More to come. Bring it on.
Fight the fight. Take the stand. Light the light. We are there. Let's come against the night.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Let's come against the night. When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up, I want to be hired based on what I look like.
Rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.